doing a series on the armour of God. And continue that today. So let me read to you from a passage in Ephesians chapter 6, if that's wrong, not just to refresh your memory. Starts in verse 10, and it says, finally, Paul's talking to the Ephesian church, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers, it's against authorities, it's against powers of this dark world, and it's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after having done everything, to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. I'm struck as we read that, if you notice that it talks about putting on the full armour of God. And I think sometimes we become specialists in one part, not full armour. And maybe that's a challenge. So if we're really strong in the Word of God, maybe we need to also look at another part. Are we confident about our salvation? Or are we resting in His righteousness rather than our own righteousness? And so that's an important dynamic. The other thing today, we're talking about the shoes of the gospel of peace. And just have a look. Well, just in verse 10, verse 11, it says, put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand. And then it talks about our struggle is not against flesh and blood, powers of darkness. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after having done everything, to stand. Then the next verse says, stand firm. And so I just want to draw your attention to how often in that passage, the message is around actually taking a stand, not getting knocked off your feet, not getting knocked sideways, not being forced into retreat. And that's part of what we'll look at today. So join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we recognize, as we've just read, that we need the full armor of God. To be as protected and as effective and powerful. We also recognize that Satan is trying to disrupt, to dislodge, to distract Christians and churches from their mission. And Lord, we recognize he's become a real expert in doing that in many different ways, but you have provided the victory, the ultimate victory, and also the victory that comes from being wise and following your word. So as we dig a little bit into what is meant by the shoes of readiness of the gospel of peace, we pray that it would be more than just an education for our minds, but it also touch our lives personally and powerfully. And we pray that in Jesus' name. So the shoes that a Roman soldier wore, he wore them whether he was in battle or whether he was going for a walk down the street. So one of the things, this is one of the most common parts of what we call the armour, because you can imagine if you were going into a fight barefoot. Now, some people have got tougher feet than me. A piece of Lego will cripple me. For anyone that remember the kids leaving Lego on, Lego in bare feet is a trial to be endured. I don't think I'd go very well in a barefoot battle. A bindi, just one single bindi eye, can bring me to a complete stop. And my mother used to be able to create a crop of bindis at world-class level. So I have lots of experience. The nature of the Roman shoes, and they actually changed. So what we're looking at here is an example of what Paul would have been talking about. A few years later, they became a boot. A few centuries later, they actually became a more enclosed boot. There's some pictures of Roman soldiers with these kind of footwear waging war in England, and they've got big fat socks all around them because the English weather was freezing cold. But this is the type of thing. They were made of leather. They had straps on them, and multiple. So with the multiple straps, you could actually adjust them very, very kind of individually. So if you needed tighter at the toes, you could do that. Needed tighter wherever. So they were quite adaptable. And the other thing that they had is that they were hobnailed. Does anyone know hobnail?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Probably only because my old man's a dustman. You remember that song?
Yes.
You know, kind of talks about his hobnail boots. That's what we're looking at today. So let's go on and just quickly have a look at the theology, because Paul is not just trying to give us an example of that he knows about Roman armour. He's actually saying these have spiritual dynamics. There are some spiritual lessons that we need to learn from this. So the first is it gave traction. And so you can see the picture of those hobnails. That apparently, depending on the if they were in one area for a long time, they would actually adjust them, or they would custom kind of hobnail their shoes for that terrain. But generally they were hobnailed. And the thing was, they could dig them in, and it gave them stability. It gave them a firm foundation. And actually the word, because this is one of the most wordy elements, it says, fit yourself with the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace. Everything else we get is a helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, but this one, shoes of the preparation or the readiness of the gospel of peace. And that word that some Bibles translate as preparedness or readiness is the same word in Psalm 89, where it says that justice and truth are the foundation of God's throne. So this word preparation or readiness, actually it harkens into a firm foundation. And so one of the things that I believe that Paul is wanting to get across to us is that the gospel should give us a firmness or a stability or a place where we're not going to be knocked off our feet. It gives us the ability to stand no matter what comes for us. And in Roman warfare, warfare at that time, thousands of people would push forward. And if they could knock the front row off their feet, that was a pretty significant advantage. And so the idea of them taking a stand, often with their shields, and we'll talk about that next week, and they would take their stand and they would become this immovable barrier. So if you just imagine them, they're not doing ballet lessons, they're kind of putting 1 foot forward and 1 foot back, and they're digging it in and saying, bring it on, because they've got a firm foundation. And we too have a firm foundation. We can also use the word readiness, and I think there's a message for us here, is that part of the gospel is a readiness or a willingness or being equipped to share the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, Peter says that we reverence Christ in your heart, always be prepared to give a defense for the hope that you have when anyone asks you. And you've probably heard me talk before, we should be living lives that raise questions. We shouldn't have to be the moral policeman condemning everything we don't like. I don't know that's the image we want. But our lives should be such that they go, hang on, there's something different about you. That's what we're after. And when they say, what is that? Peter actually says, we should be prepared. And I think Paul is saying the same, that there is a certain readiness to share with those around us. I think that's part of the theology. Paul also talks that this readiness is directly linked to what in this passage he talks about the gospel of peace. Now, if I said, what is the gospel? Some of you know, I remember this from Sunday school. It's this point follows this point follows this point. That's actually not the gospel. The gospel just simply means it's good news. And I think that, yes, it is good news that God has a plan, and that it wasn't good news that we messed up, but it is good news that God sent Jesus to die. And so the elements we think of the gospel actually is one expression of the good news. And this is great news, because it's great news about peace. It's great news about a God who loves us. It's great news about salvation through Jesus Christ. It's great news that we have both abundant life as well as eternal life. And the good news just goes upon layer upon layer upon layer. So the gospel in its entirety is almost overwhelming. It just doesn't stop. It is such good news. And in this, he says, this should be the gospel of peace. Now, I'm not talking, I'd love for you to kind of float around in some kind of utopian euphoria, kind of, isn't life wonderful all the time? But I think he's actually saying that there's levels of peace. And sometimes it is the peace that passes all understanding, isn't it, that he talks about. It's the peace that we can have when everything around us yells out, stress out. We're going, there's part of me that feels drawn to that. There's also part of me that goes, because of who God is, because he said that he loves me, that I accept Jesus as Christ as my Savior and Lord, and I have all of these benefits, all the blessings of heaven, I can be peaceful in those circumstances where just doesn't make sense. And by the way, every time you're peaceful in stressful situations, it's one of those events that people go, what is it with you? The gospel of peace. And just a little side, the word irene, which is the Greek word for peace, has more than just peaceful. It actually also means wholeness and salvation. So when Paul talks about the gospel of peace, he's not just saying you're nice and calm in a stressful situation. He says you have an understanding of salvation. You have an understanding of the wholeness that this brings. And so there's some deep theology here. One of the commentators that I was looking at said the gospel of peace is a glorious message that Jesus has made peace between us and God so that we can be his people and be his children. One of the key aspects of the gospel of peace. So there's some deep theology here. There's some analogy, I have no doubt, that Paul had about being ready, about standing firm. I think there's also about going out, and we'll pick that up probably in the next slide, that we talk about, well, what's the analogy that we can draw? The shoes were called Caligae. And if you are history buffs, you will know that there was, if I can get his name right, Gaius Caesar Augustus Germanicus, who had a nickname. Anyone have a go at what that nickname was?
Caligula.
Caligula. You know what Caligula means? Little boots. Shoes. Of course, as a young child, he dressed up as a Roman soldier, and he always followed the troops around. He went on to be one of the most despotic, psychopathic, evil kind of emperors they had, which is saying something given the emperors that they had. They were called Caligae. Now, as I said before, they were worn all the time. Whenever you saw a Roman soldier, if he was wearing his sandals, barefoot was not a big thing in the army. So when he was on duty, off duty, it was almost, this captures us always. Our readiness of the gospel of peace shouldn't be something we put on for emergencies. It should be part of our regular kind of way of going about life. As I mentioned, they were started for group. They gave that firm foundation. We too can draw that. We should be confident in the gospel. We should be confident in what it means. And I think for some of us, we get nervous about sharing the gospel because it's not clear in our own heads. And so that readiness, I wouldn't know how to answer this question. We got told that we had to write a personal testimony that said, what was I like before I came to Christ? What caused me to come to Christ and what's changed since? They then marked me out of 10 on that. This was when I was at Bible college or a theological college. They then sent us out, armed with our personal testimony, out into the streets of Redfern. So we were door knocking, cold door knocking in Redfern. That's a deep end swimming experience, I tell you. But what they said was, you don't have to know every bit of theology, because this is about week one or two of my theological training. But if you can tell someone what life was like for you before you became a Christian, what caused you to change and the benefits of what's happened since, they said, no one can argue with your testimony. I can't say agree. No, you weren't confused and lost. He's like, yeah, I was. I was there. I know it. So being prepared gives us a firm foundation. There was, as I think, there's that sense of perseverance too that comes for us. Sometimes God answers our prayers in an instant, in a miraculous way. And praise God when he does that. But there are occasions where God has stuff on our plate or we find ourselves in situations that he doesn't answer that prayer quickly. And there's a certain sense that we put one foot forward, one foot back, and we stand on what we know. Because we've got to persevere, and you'll hear that voice. God doesn't love you. God's not going to change it. The finances won't ever get better. That person will never get saved. That person will never be healed. And there's a certain sense that we've got to stand on what the gospel and what the truth of peace with Jesus Christ is about. So perseverance is one of the images that we should have. The other thing, it wasn't just that the Roman army didn't stay in Rome and say, come and get us if you can, did they? They marched all over the world. There was a sense of these shoes were what propelled the army forward. And so it's not only about us with a firm foundation and with perseverance. There's got to be a challenge for us to be a movement that goes beyond our walls, beyond our plot of ground here, and takes the message of Jesus Christ and the truth of that. You will take it into your workplaces. You will take it into your retirement villages and your neighborhoods. You get to take that with you. Satan doesn't want you to know that. Because you, there's a reality is that a candle can be seen miles away in the night. And you as a light, and I as a light, shine brightest in a dark surrounding. So I think there's when we go out and we get to make a difference. So there's a sense of movement, there's a sense of going beyond ourselves, that I believe, and particularly beyond ourselves with this good news that we have. There was a skit, which is like a little drama that youth groups used to do. And it was a skit, heaven coming up, I don't know if it's some people, but you know, getting up to heaven, and someone's going, they come up, go in, you're in heaven. This person said, can I go with her? She's my best friend. He said, no, it's this image of place. person said, what? He said, did you ever give your life to Christ? No. He says, well, I'm afraid heaven's not for you. And the poignant part of this drama is when that person looks across to her friend and yells out, why didn't you tell me? That's powerful. If we are people of love, are we willing to tell people that there is a way? There is a way out of all the problems, but it's not just a self-help process, is it? It's about eternal life, it's about abundant life, it's about becoming the person you were always planned to be. And the last thing that I want to probably just use this analogy, we get to wage peace. I love that phrase. We get to bring peace into stressful situations. Now this can be a challenge depending on our personality. Because some of us can seem to be the you know, someone said that you've got a fire and you've got one container of petrol, you've got one container of water, and you get to choose what you're going to throw on the fire. And sometimes our personal instinct is to jump in, to sound off, or maybe we don't get that embroiled, but there can be problems that arise, and sometimes we just dribble petrol on that fire by willing to listen to the gossip or unhelpful talk or, you know, and we need to be people to say, hey, the culture of, I hope my family, I hope your family, I certainly hope this church is a culture of peace. Where when people come in angry and frustrated, we will listen to them, caring them, but not add aggression to their anger. We want to wage peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Does anyone know what the end of that phrase is? They shall be called
children of God.
Children of God. In fact, the word Son of God, which is the phrase, the Hebrew language doesn't have adjectives. Well, they were too poor to have adjectives. So they wouldn't say you were very angry, they could say you are the son of anger. So to be called the son of something says you have the very nature of your father, anger. Or so who knows what James and John, the apostles, they were called sons of something. Do you remember what that was?
Thunder.
Now, they didn't create thunder and hail and stuff like that. They said, these guys, they can go off like a firecracker. They probably didn't use that analogy, but they were thunderous in their nature. I love that because John, as an old man, becomes the apostle of love and peace and care. I'm going, what a transformation from these fiery, wound up young brothers, sons of thunder. When Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers, not just bury it under the carpet and pretend it's not there. But when you go in and help reconciliation in families, in friendships, and particularly with God, it says you have the very nature of God himself. That's the heart. You will be children of your Father. Peacemakers. So, let me ask you this question. What robs you of peace? What robs you of peace? That's not meant to be a judgment. It's meant to be an encouragement that we have been impacted by the gospel of peace, which sometimes is peace that passes all understanding. But sometimes we give up that spiritual fruit, love, joy, peace, things, I would say, from Satan, who sends them and goes, this is subtle, this is small, this, they're used to this. And I'll just erode their peace. And if we're talking about this in the nature of spiritual armor, it's about being protected. But both with the fight that you see coming face on, but it's all for those flying arrows that you don't see, those stones that were hurled that you don't see coming. And sometimes our peace gets eroded or stolen from us because Satan has got in quietly to gnaw away at that. So as we finish, I want you to just bow your heads with me. But first of all, we want to take on the full armor, and we want to declare that we will walk into stressful situations. We want to wage peace, but we want to be people who do not have their own peace stolen from them. So we stand against the strategy of Satan through the blood of Jesus Christ. We stand and we take on the spiritual armor. We take on the helmet of salvation. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for eternal life. We thank you that you guard our minds and our ways of thinking. Teach us to take every thought captive for Christ. We take on that breastplate of righteousness, not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ himself, and that we can stand strong and confident in that. We take on the belt of truth. We pray that our emotions will be protected. We pray that we would be truthful in the things we say and also truthful in the lives we live. No deception. No pretense. And as we talk today, we take on the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace. We take them. We pray that we would wage peace. We pray that we would go out from this place and these walls and declare your peace, declare the good news of salvation offered to every single person. We take up the shield of faith so that we may stand together in anything that Satan throws at us, fiery arrows or darts, as your word says. And finally, we take up the sword of truth. And once again, we take it to use to defeat Satan, to defeat the lies, to defeat the attacks. But we will not use your word to beat up our brothers and sisters in Christ just for the sake of winning a theological life. So, as your word said, put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand. Help us in this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.